Okay, Parshas Kisavai, page 1068. Okay, the Pasuk says, Vahaya Kisavai Alardis, this Parshas is teaching us the mitzvah of Bikurim, but there's a lot of other things before we even get to the concept of Bikurim. Okay, so it says like this, one Pasuk we discussed last time. Vahaya Kisavai Alardis will be when you come to the land, Hashem is giving you as inheritance. You'll inherit it. You'll dwell in the land. So Rashi says, from here we learn that Bikurim, they didn't have to bring until all the Jews settled the land. All the 7 years they conquered and then settled. And the explanation is because, like we said last week, 2 weeks ago, why can't you just bring, you have your field, bring, because you can't be happy until all the other Jews are happy together. Okay, I'm going to say a few psukim, then we're going to discuss it in a much deeper level. You should take from the first fruits of your land, not all the fruits, the first fruits, and it says, Mereshis. So Rashi says in the Gemara that what is obligated in the mitzvah of Bikurim, Bikurim literally means Bechor, the first fruits. It's the first fruits of the seven species that Eretz Yisrael was praised with. Wheat, barley, grapes, figs, dates, pomegranates, and olives. These are what you have to bring Bikurim from. And the Gemara says what you do is, you go into the field when you see the first fruits ripening.
From
one tree. It's very fruit. They brought very few fruits to be to Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Hamikdash. And you wrap around a thread around the fruits, and then later when it ripens, you take those fruits that you marked off and you bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, we're going to learn a whole different meaning over here of this whole thing. The Samta Batana, you put it into a basket. It has to be put into a vessel. Thank you. V'alachta l'amokim, and you will go to the place, asher yivcha Hashem alakecha, and that God chose l'shakin shmei Hashem to rest His name there, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So the Pasuk says, when you come into the land, after you settle the land, you come and you take the first fruits, and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Now, let's discuss a Torah, a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said on this Pasuk. The Rebbe brings it down in a Yom Yom, on Chai Elul. Okay? But he says like this. And this is the way the Baal Shem Tov, I'm going to read it. It's a long, not long, but it's a few paragraphs of what the Baal Shem Tov said on Shabbos Parshas Kisavai. Okay? He said like this. He translated in the Pasuk. Be when you come into the land, Eretz, Kisavai al Eretz, that your eternal God gives you for inheritance, you will inherit and dwell in it. The Medrash says, I'm reading now from Yom Yom. The Medrash notes that Eretz is an idiom for Merutza, running, and Rotzing. Okay? Gemara says, the Medrash says, why is Eretz called Eretz? The root of Eretz is Rotz. It runs to do the will of Hashem. Also, Eretz is from the word rotzein. It has the same root, rotzein will. When you attain the level of rotzein, meaning desire for godly, that is a gift from above. In other words, when you will come to the Eretz, meaning you'll run and have the will for godliness, and you'll know that this will that every Jew has is what God gives you, asher nasan locha Hashem elokecha, that God is giving you as an inheritance to every one of the Yidden, then your avodah is you should dwell in it to internalize all that you have attained, bringing it down in a settled manner. Meaning like this. What the Baal Shem Tov is saying is, every Jew has this desire, because of the neshama, right? We have a desire to be close to Hashem. So the Pasuk says like this, v'kisavei al ha'aretz, when you will come to have this desire for godliness, you should know that this is Hashem Elokecha Neisen Lecha. Where do you get this desire to be close to God? because God is giving it to you. Right? God gives it to you as a nachla inheritance. What does inheritance mean? It's brought down in many, both in halacha and chassidus. Inheritance means the child is in the place of the parent. Okay? Tachas avisachi yovanach. Replacing the parents. But more than that, inheritance is automatic whether you are aware of it or not. For instance, the din is, the Gemara uses the expression, a baby, as soon as it comes out into the air of the world, meaning the second it's born, inherits. If the baby is born, and the second later his father died, it inherits all the billions of dollars that the father inherited, that owned. Now, the kid doesn't know, he doesn't know what a father is, he doesn't know what money is, he was just born. He knows nothing. Nevertheless, inheritance is, whether you are aware of it or not, you have it. You inherit the money, it's yours. He says this power that a Jew has of disrupting this will and desire, yeah, to be close to Hashem, the Pasuk says this will, that God gives you as an inheritance. Every Jew, you're born a Jew, you convert according to Halacha, you have this, but the Torah says, what do you have to do with it? But you have to internalize it. You have to live in it. Meaning, you have to bring it down into a practical level. Meaning, this neshama, the pintali that a Jew has, needs to be civilized, dwelled, you need to dwell in it. Okay? In a settled manner. Meaning, now, 1 second. I'll explain in a second. Then the Pasuk continues and says like this. You should take it and place it in a basket. Take it and put it into the basket. What is it? This revelation of godliness. This revelation of godliness that every Jew has as an inheritance. Hashem says, take it and put it into a basket. Meaning, into vessels. Appropriate vessels. And then he says like this. What should you do with this? So now the godliness is in you. You internalized it. You put it into a basket. What does it mean in the spiritual sense? Very interestingly, what's the basket? The body.
It's not heart.
The will of Hashem, the neshama, is coming into every single Jew as an inheritance. The samta batani, you put it into the body. The body is the basket that holds the neshama. And then it says, "Va'alachta l'mokim," you should go to the place. Simply means the Beis HaMikdash, right? You carry the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. But here the Baal Shem Tov says no. A Jew must know that when he goes from one place to another, he is not going on his own, but he is being directed from above. The Pasuk says, you go to the place, meaning, wherever you go in life, you should know you're going to where God is directing you. You're not going to anywhere you want. God is directing you. What is the purpose of going to that place? The Pasuk says, "Lishakin Shmei Shom," to make God's name rest there. To bring godliness in the place you go. Why is a Jew, in other words, this Pasuk is speaking like this. Why is the neshama coming down into the body? Number one, every Jew has this as an inheritance. A Jew can't say, I don't have a neshama and I'm not Jewish. I don't believe or whatever. You have it, it's inheritance. Whether you like it or not, you got it. What do you have to do with this neshama? You have to affect the body. You have to bring it into the body. You have to, and then what do you do with it in life? In life, you go wherever you go. Wherever you move to. You're going to the place that God chose. It's not what you chose. It's a lachta l'mokim asher yivcha Hashem alakach, the place in life that God chose. For what purpose? L'shakein shemei sham, to cause His name to dwell there. Meaning, why are you where you are, and you are where you are, and I am where I am, and she is where she is? Because this is the place God designated that you have to bring godliness to, and you have to bring godliness to, and I have to bring godliness to.
Your home you're referring to?
No, your home, your community, your everything. The fact that you live in this city means that your role in life is to bring godliness into the city. That's why you're not in a different city. Right? Why were you born to parents that live in L.A. and therefore you're living in L.A. or Beverly Hills, whatever? Because this is the place that God chose for your neshama to come down to. But you have to internalize this in the body to work the body and soul together. You're working the body and the soul together to bring godliness to the place that God chose. And therefore the person needs to know it's not where you're going. It's the place God is directing you to go, and that's what you have to do.
Rabbi, this is especially go for this place, you know, it's not to other place. This is mentioned in this to you. If you go inland, inside of the land of Israel, if not other places.
Right.
So, I mean, if no, unless you are, you don't have the inheritance of the...
Are you in Israel now?
No.
Okay. Why are you here now? I don't mean in this class. Why are you here?
Because God wants it.
For what purpose?
I don't know.
It says, L'shakin Shmei Sham, to make God's name dwell there, to make a Mishkan.
The Mishkan is inside Yosef.
Yeah, but also in the area around you.
We don't have a place. We don't have any Yerushalayim.
You speak to a neighbor about Yiddishkeit. You influence somebody by being a living example. That is the way you bring godliness into the place. By doing Torah mitzvahs yourself, you're bringing godliness into the place. And by influencing others. That's where you bring godliness, not only into your own place, but to shine out to the world.
So what about the Goy?
The Goy, their mission is not to do this.
What is their mission?
Their mission is to civilize the world for the Jew to be able to do this. The seven Noahide laws is to civilize the world that the Jews should be able to accomplish this mission of bringing godliness down into the world. And this is what the Baal Shem Tov said this pasuk means. So it's not only speaking about Bikurim, it's speaking generally. Kisavei ala aretz, when you come into the land, meaning when you have this desire, you should know that this is what God gives you as inheritance. You need to internalize it. You have to take the fruits that God gave you from the land, put it in a basket. You have to go to the place in life where God chose you that you should go. And what is the purpose? The Shakin Shmei Sham, to bring your name there.
About it, fresh Bukhurim.
Bikurim. No, but there's another interesting lesson over here. The whole mitzvah of Bikurim is a very fundamental ethical, moral teaching in life. Gemara says the whole purpose of Bikurim, why do we admit to being Bikurim?
Yeah.
What's called Hakaras Hatev, thanking God, recognizing the good that somebody did. Bikurim teaches a Jew, you have to be what's called Hakaras Hatev, you have to recognize the good and be appreciative of the good somebody does to you. So by God, God says, how do you show appreciation to me? Take the fruits that you worked hard for. But here the commentators explain it very interestingly, a little bit deeper. You know, sometimes when you work in a field, you say, oh, you know what, the first things I want for myself. I want for myself, yeah? God says, no. I don't want all your fruits. God says, I don't want all your fruits. In fact, very minimal Bikurim were brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Bikurim is a very small amount. But God says, what I want?
What do you want?
Your best. Don't give me junk.
Of course.
No, but God says the rest you can keep. The rest you can keep. All I want is the best. What does this mean in daily living? It means as follows. The best of the day is when you wake up in the morning, when you're up. Don't after you're up already. up. Not when at the end of the day when you're tired and you're falling asleep. God says, you know what? You get up in the morning, I want you to daven. And the spiritual says, I want you to daven. First thing, daven. Say thank you. Right? Say thank you, God. You woke me up. I didn't die in my sleep. I'm alive. My soul didn't come back down into an animal. My soul came down into a Jewish body. God, thank you. That's God says, the whole day you could do business. Give me a little bit in the morning. Just learn a little bit. In the morning, just give me the first fruits. Or, God says, when you're young, when the kids are b'chor, meaning they're young, first fruits, the beginning of the fruit. No, you give it when they're young. You teach them, you know, proper Yiddishkeit. That's one of the concepts of upsharonish. You know, it's like the tree. The first 3 years, you don't you benefit from the fruits, and then you cut the tree. So this is the whole mitzvah of Bikurim. By the way, God says the whole mitzvah of Bikurim is Hakaras HaTov. Okay, and it says whoever, the Gemara says, whoever denies, doesn't appreciate what somebody does for you, another person does for you, it's like you're denying the goodness of God. Or like he says, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, what's a bad trait? You borrow money and don't pay it back. Because the guy did you a favor. Yeah, pay it back, you're not allowed to take interest, or give interest. The guy, show that you appreciate it, or all these things. And David HaMelech says, told Shlomo HaMelech on his deathbed, when David HaMelech was dying, he said, remember what this Barzillai Gilodi did, remember all the favors that people did, and show appreciation. This is the main part of Bikurim, that Hashem says, you don't only care about yourself, bring the Bikurim to the Kohanim, break your Yetzer Hara, you want the first fruits, give it to somebody else, have a little modesty, these are all the things you learn from Bikurim, and that everything comes from God. But the primary moral lesson of all this is the concept of what's called Hakaras HaTov. Just be appreciating what somebody does for you. Mm-hmm. You know what happens in life? It's human nature, and it's really sad. That when people do good for you, you always forget it.
Right away.
One time the guy did something bad to you.
That
did a thousand goods for you. Good things. One time, that's all you remember. All the good they do, you forget. This is exactly the opposite. The opposite. You know, I heard my wife told me one of the kids sent this on the WhatsApp. It was a remarkable thing. This professor walks into the classroom. Professor in university. He walks into the classroom and he says, okay, we're having a test. He takes the paper and puts it upside down on by each chair. Okay? Then he tells the kids, turn it over. Turn over the paper. That's the test. What's on the other side of the paper is a whole white sheet of paper with a black dot in the middle. And it was a philosophy class. So the professor says to the students, write what you see. Write what you see on the paper. Yeah, got it? Okay. So then all the kids are writing. Finally he collects the papers and he's reading. Everybody explained something about the black dot. Nobody, the professor said, not one kid spoke about the white. It was all about the black. And he said, you have a whole white sheet of paper. There's one tiny little black. One tiny little bad. Yeah? And the whole focus is on the black, bad. He said, life is a sheet of paper. It's all good. Why are you focused? Yeah. It's very interesting. If you think in Taylor, it's unbelievable.
Very deep.
It is deep.
Very deep.
It is.
You're absolutely right.
But the teacher was very smart. No, I mean, he brought out a very good point. You have a whole clean white piece of paper. What are you focusing on? The negativity. But that's exactly what Bikurim is not teaching us. Bikurim teaching us, no matter what it is, appreciate the good that Hashem does, and that teaches us to be appreciative of everything else that a person does, that a person does for everybody else.
Rabbi, you mentioned that every morning we get the same soul or different soul.
Every morning when we say Meida Ani, the Rebbe has a whole thing about this. What do we say? Shechzar to be Nishma Si. Not the neshama of a goy. God could have mixed up. You know? Not accidentally. There's no accident. Intentionally. Hashem says, Shechzar to be Nishma Si, 1068. Shechzar to be Nishma Si, that God gave us back our neshama.
Our neshama that he left or different kind?
No, the neshama that left came back. But it came back pure and rested.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask a question because we say,
it is pure. That's what he says. You should know this is what God gives you. Nachla inheritance of Hashem said, right? whether you understand it or not, you have this as an inheritance. Every Jew has it, and the Shema is pure.
You don't really mess up the day before or whatever, you know.
It goes up, it gets cleansed, it comes back down fresh.
What if you have a bad dream right before you wake up?
Huh? No such thing as bad dreams. Okay, so these are the first fruits. Okay? Now, all the fruits don't need, and then again, this is another remarkable lesson, besides the fact that showing appreciation. If you think about it, God should have said, you know what? It's all me. Give me 90% and you take 10%. That's what it should be. Think about it. Yeah? God should say, you know what? Who makes the plantings? Me. Who makes it grow? Me. Who does me? You know what? Give me 90%, I'll give you 10%. Or God could say 50-50. Hashem doesn't say that. By Bikurim, it's even less than 10%. But even then, Hashem says, you know what? You take 90%, just give me 10%. Or Bikurim, even less. Give me the first fruits. Hashem says, but give them to me. Don't give me junk. Give me the best of the crop. Just give it to me and all that. Okay? Now,
this is interesting.
What?
Hashem doesn't need to, he cannot eat. Why? He wants something good one. Why he want it?
You know, let me tell you something. When a parent teaches a child to say thank you, yeah?
Yeah.
So if it's parents and kids, don't expect a thank you. But, you're a little kid, you teach to say thank you, yeah?
Yeah.
The parent needs to thank you, or the kid needs to learn how to say thank you?
Need to learn.
The parent doesn't need the thank you.
Yeah,
okay, come on, you don't do it for the thank you.
But they want discipline then.
Yeah, so Hashem says, of course I'm not eating your fruits. Well, God says give it to the kohen, because the kohen is Hashem's representative. So, but it's not Hashem eating, obviously. But Hashem says, you need to be taught. To appreciate what you have. That's all. Okay. In other words, and he says you have to go to the place where God gives it to. Meaning, you can't go to anywhere else but the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the question over here, the Gemara asks, like this: why does it say? I mean, he asks, why does it say Meishes Priho Adama? He starts of El Haaretz, and then he says. So he says like this, because it all includes eitz or adama, the whole thing. Because some of them, wheat and barley, come from the ground. Adama comes from the ground. And the other stuff, fig, date, pomegranate, olive, that comes from the tree. But even if you say adama on an apple or on a grape, it's good. So therefore the Torah uses the word Adama for that. Okay? And not only that, the Hashem says something else. The Pasuk says, the fruits that you will bring from Ashutavi me Artzecha, which you bring from your land. Why does it have to say Artzecha, your land?
Belong to you.
From here the Gemara says, no. From here the Chazal learn out that when you bring Bikurim, God says, then it's your land. If you don't bring Bikurim, then everything you're taking is stealing from me. And that's what it says. That's when it becomes Artzecha. When does it become Artzecha? Because the Pasuk starts off, Yikisavei ala Aretz. Asher Hashem. It doesn't say when you come to Artzecha. When does it become Artzecha? After you take the first fruits, then the Torah says, Asher Tovi Me Artzecha. Because that what makes it yours. Similar to what the Gemara says, you know, one time it says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, V'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. Earth belongs to people. Another pasuk says LaHashem Ha'aretz Imloya, that God owns the earth and everything in it. So the question is, whose earth is it, Hashem's or ours? One pasuk says LaHashem Ha'aretz Imloya. Another pasuk says Hashemayim V'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. So the Gemara answers, it depends. Before you make a bracha, after you make a bracha. Before you make a bracha, it's God's. After you make a bracha, then it becomes yours. Right? So the Gemara says, that's why if you eat without a bracha, you're stealing. No, you're stealing, right? Because it's not yours, it belongs to Hashem. So the same thing over here, the Mefarshim explained, when it says, Asher Tovi Me'artzecha, When you bring it, then it becomes Artzecha, then it becomes your land, and then, you know, you're not stealing anymore. Okay, now, the question is like this. There's another interesting point over here, which is asked by the Mefarshim. All the other gifts of the Kayanim, Truma, you know, the Karban, everything, you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You have Truma. You don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash to give the Kayanim Truma. You give to any Kayan in the street, to your neighbor, whatever. Why by Bikurim is the Torah demanding to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash to give to the Kayanim? Give it to the Kayanim in the next door. What's the Indian over here? Okay? So he explains like this. By Korbanis, it says, Adam Kiyakim Mikam Korban Lashem, okay? If you bring a Korban to Hashem, you have to first be Makdishit, you have to sanctify the animal, and then you could bring it. Why do you have to sanctify it first, and then bring it? So it says like this, Hashem wants that when people do things, it should become theirs. You shouldn't bring a korban from something that doesn't belong to you. Yeah? By sanctifying the korban, then God says, now it's yours. Like we just said, you bring the bikurim, then the land becomes yours. Instead, so Hashem says, when does it become yours? When you makdish it, meaning you say, this carbon is Hashem because I realize Hashem is the world, then you have the ability to bring it. So he says like this. Bikurim, you have separating the Bikurim, bringing the Bikurim, and giving the Bikurim. Okay? So he says like this. There's no amount. He might not give a very little truma. Bikurim. So it says that you should give it in a way that it's yours. Separate it, it becomes yours, and then you can bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Because there's no amount. Hashem says, it has to be yours, and therefore by going to the Beis HaMikdash, you're showing that you're doing it to be connected to Hashem.
But doesn't the dish or the vessel that you take it in depend on your financial status and how wealthy you are?
You know what the Gemara says? You have here the expression, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Yeah. It's a Mishnah. From the Din of Bikurim. The Gemara says like this. You have to put it into a basket. So rich people put it into gold and silver baskets. The poor people put it in the cheap wicker baskets. Yeah? And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says like this. The expensive baskets, the Kohen gave back to the owner. And the cheap wicker baskets, the Kohen kept. Which is interesting. The rich get their basket back, and the poor... So that's... The Gemara says, Hang on me inchi. The Gemara says, that's what it says. The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer.
why do that? Why take it from the poor man?
I don't know, but we'll see one day. But, bro, that's the din, that the basket of a poor man goes to the...
When one goes to Eretz Yisrael today, you have to be careful of Meiser and Orla.
True, not be.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Bikurim's not applicable.
Right. Because most Jews are not living in Israel today.
Is Bikurim not applicable because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, all these things. Today there's no mitzvah Bikurim. But you have to be careful with Orla and Trumas Meisers.
Rabbi, were they allowed to choose which coin to give it to, or just the coin that's active in the Beis HaMikdash?
In the Beis HaMikdash, that's what it says. We didn't get there for yet. You have to give it to the coin of the shift.
The one that's doing the shift.
The coin were divided into 24 shifts. Mm-hmm. Okay? In the days of David and Shlomo, Moshe and Aaron was much less. In the days of David and Shlomo, they divided the coin and Levium into 24 shifts. Okay? Each shift worked a week. Because if you figure, then it's 2 weeks a year, so it's 48 weeks, then you had the Chagim, where all the Kohanim worked.
Right.
Okay? But Now, the families were divided into 24 families, but now you have subdivisions of the family. So basically, the subdivision were divided by the week. Let's see, family A worked week one, but family A can have a lot of people. So they shifted it by the day. So they didn't end up working too much. But if you brought Bikurim, you have to bring it to the Kohenim of that shift.
Of the week
or the day, whatever, but that shift, you couldn't give it. That's what he said, you couldn't give it to the Kohen of your choice.
Now hold on, but couldn't the Kohen choose to do the thing himself, and then if they wanted to do it themselves, then they had the right to do it?
That was only by a carbon.
Yeah,
no, if a Kohen brought a carbon himself,
right,
and a week when it wasn't his shift, he could bring the carbon himself. Right? But you can't, if I'm not a Kohen, I'm bringing a carbon, I can't say, no, I don't want this shift, I want another shift. That doesn't work. Okay, so that's the whole concept of Bikurim over here. You have to bring the first fruits. In fact, the Gemara, the Rambam makes it down from the mission, the Gemara discussed there was a whole process. It was actually a parade. They took, the procession was led by an ox, that they hung up grapes and other shiras meaning on the horns of the shard, and they would all walk together, and then the neighboring communities along the way would join them, and they would all be going up together. It was a long parade.
Procession
to the base of Migdosh. You know, that was, they say it was something unbelievable. The ox was adorned with the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and
they stayed there for all night or
what? But generally they had to stay there overnight.
Right. One more question: the Bikurim, they do it only during the Shlosh Regalim, or they can do it any time of the year?
No, Bikurim was brought. We'll soon see the time. No, it's because after up to Hanukkah before usually Shavuos time, but we'll see. We'll see in the dinim when you brought it, when we get there. Okay. So it says like this. You have to give it to the land that Hashem is giving you. Okay. You have to bring it to the Kohen. Okay. Whoever he is. You can't say, I don't like the guy, he's no good. You have to give it to the Kohen who's there. But Marta, I love, and you tell him the following. He gathered to Hayyim Lashem Alakacha. I declare today to Hashem, Kivasi ala aret, that have come to the land, Hashem nishba Hashem laviseinu, losas lona, that God swore to give it to us. Okay? So in other words, what are you saying? Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that I am not unappreciative of what Hashem did. These are the fruits I'm bringing because Hashem gave us the land, and it says, he got it to Hayim, that you only do it once a year. Okay? Now, the Kohen takes the basket, the Kohen takes the basket from your hands, and he puts it down, okay? And as the Mefashim say, what does he do? The Kohen puts his hand, the guy's holding the basket, the Yisrael's holding the basket, and the Kohen puts his hand underneath the hand of the owner, and he waves it back and forth, up and down. They waved the basket of Bikurim.
Was there a purpose to the waving? What was the purpose of the waving? Is that just
the Gemara says they actually waved it, but to show this in all directions and
everybody see that what they're doing, huh?
Correct.
It's like similar to the Lulav and Etrog, I guess.
It's similar. A lot of korbanos had to be waved. Okay. Okay. Now, Bikurim is even before Truma. You have some of the dinim, okay? Now, Bikurim comes even before Truma, because Bikurim is called Reishis, even though Truma is also called Reishis. And the Torah says it before the mitzvah of Truma. It's only the time of the Beis HaMikdash, okay? Now he says like this, now, a person goes down, this is what they do, okay? They go down into the field, when the field is ripening, and he sees, let's say, a fig ripening, a grapes ripening, you know, the Shivas Aminim. Okay, he makes a sign with a thread around it. He ties it to make a sign. And he says, these are Bikurim. Then when it, Okay, the bring, you bring it and they give it to the Kohen. The Kohen waves it. Only a Kohen is allowed to eat it. They divided it in the shift of that week. They divided the Bikurim. A Zod, meaning a non-Kohen that eats Bikurim, is Chayiv Misa. Bidei Shemayim, just like eating Truma. Okay, then, you only bring Bikurim from a good, okay, now, you don't bring Bikurim before Shavuos. Okay? You're not to bring Bikurim before Shavuos. There's main time of Bikurim, it's from Shavuos to Sukkot. Okay? The main time of bringing Bikurim is from Shavuos to Sukkot. If you didn't bring it before Sukkot, you could bring it from Sukkot to Chanukah, but it's called Mevi Ve'ena Kreya, the Mishnah says. You bring it, but you don't say all these psukim. There's a part of the mitzvah saying all these psukim, Arami Avidavi, and all these psukim that we're going to see. That's only if you bring it between Shavuos and Sukkot. After Chanukah, you can't bring it. Now, how much is it? How much shir? He says, there's no shir min ha-teira. Okay? Chacham said it should be 1/60th. You know, from 60 figs, you bring one fig. Or 50 pomegranates, you know, whatever. You have to bring it in a keli. You have to put lechatchila, listen to this. You have to put it into each one, seven different kelim. Lechatchila, you have to put, like it says, min mishivsa min bekeli b'fnei atzmi. You put figs into one, dates into the next, the pomegranates into the next. Like we said, if it was a metal keli, the kohen gave it back. If not, the kohen kept it. And then it says like this. Okay. They all came to their city and they shouldn't go up alone to Beis HaMikdash because Roivam Hadras Melech, they all slept in the mark, in the center of the city. And then they got up and they walked to Har HaBayis and, you know, they went singing Psukim and they did a whole bunch of stuff in the process. So the proper time of Bikurim is Shavuos to Sukkot.
My fruit trees, you know, you see the fruit, all of a sudden you've got bird pecks and you've got the squirrels eating them or whatever. What's it been designated as Bikurim? Does he only have a special...
That's it, you bring it as it is.
But you told us you have to bring the best.
Well, yeah, well, you have to designate the best.
But I'm saying if you have squirrel and birds eating from it, even if it's the first fruits, it's not going to be the best.
You see, and he also says, do you have to bring it? The Gemara learns out that what happens if your Bikurim got lost? You have to bring others. Because it's your responsibility to bring it.
But you just said, what if animals were pecking at it? You
know, in those days in Israel, the animals didn't touch the holy fruits.
But at this time, the Hanukkah does not exist. How come they say you can visit before the Hanukkah?
Oh, that's what the Chachamim say, the time of bringing it. They learn now from Sukkim, because when is the proper time to bring it? Because that's not what Tavi Me'artzecha. Yeah, you're right. Chanukah didn't exist, but Chanukah did exist in the second Beis HaMikdash. In the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash. Right.
Why was there so much corruption in the second Beis HaMikdash? If they saw all these miracles, I don't understand.
You don't understand it.
No.
Why is there so much corruption today when everybody sees how kind God is to us? That there's every nation in the world wants to destroy us and we're still existing. So if we see all these miracles, why is there so much corruption? Good question. You have to ask the people that do the corruption. Okay. So you say, you thank Hashem, and then like the Kohen takes the basket. By the way, the Gemara says, you know how they learn out 1/60th? Even though like it's a biblically there's no shir? It says, V'samta batena. Ten is the basket. Ten is tes nun aleph equals 60. That's Nun Aleph. No, that's the reason why the Chum learned out where they came up with the number 160th. Because, like Truma also, but because it says the word 10, and 10 equals 60. Okay, and then what you say like this. Vanisa v'yamarta, you then shout out, call out and say, here it doesn't mean, Vanisa normally means answer. But answer is what somebody asks, and nobody's asking you anything. So you say the following. Arami Avidavi, Arami meaning Lovan, wanted to destroy us. Vayedin Mitzrayma, and we went down to Egypt. Vayaga Shambim Seimaat, we were there very few people. Right? We went down 70 people. Lock, stock, and barrel. It was only 70 people. Vayisham Lagai Godl Otzim Verovah, we became a very great nation there. Okay? Now, what are we telling God's kindness? We're starting, like we're doing the Haggadah, by the way. Arami Eved Avi means Lavan wanted to kill Yaakov and everybody, right? He wanted to make everybody, not only spiritually, physically, the whole thing. And because of that, Vayedin Mitzrayma. So it's a very interesting thing. What's the connection between Lavan? It's very interesting. It's historical, so to speak. Of course, because that's what Hashem wanted. But if you take it from a natural, historical point of view, okay, not because of Hashem wanted it, okay, why did the Jews end up in Mitzrayim? Because they were jealous of Yosef, right? They were jealous of him. Why were they jealous of him? Because Reuven was the Bchor first, and Yosef was the Bchor from Rachel, correct? And Yosef was treated better than everybody else. So the brothers were jealous of Yosef. That was the bottom line of it, right? They were jealous of Yosef. But now you have an interesting thing. Why did that happen? If you think about it, just again, physical, historical. Because according to plan, Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel first. Correct? So let's say, even if he would have had to marry Leah afterwards, yeah? But if he married Rachel first, Rachel would have had children first. Then Yosef would have been the real firstborn. The real firstborn.
Do we know that?
I'm just saying from a historical point of view. Think about it. Because it says in Chumash, Hashem saw that Leah was hated, not hated, relative to Rachel, she was hated, so Hashem opened up her womb first. That's what the pasuk says, okay? But if it would have gone to human plans, that Yaakov would have married Rachel, even if he would have married Leah afterwards, yeah? But then logically, Yosef would have been born first. So Yosef would have been the real firstborn. So if Yaakov treated him differently, nobody would have been jealous, because he was the firstborn.
Yeah.
Correct? Who made this mess? Lavan. Because Lavan switched, and therefore he gave Leah first, and therefore Rachel wasn't first, and therefore Yosef wasn't the Bchor. So who caused, again, historically, okay, who caused the Jews to go down to Mitzrayim?
Lavan.
Lavan caused it by mixing up Leah and Leah. That's what Pasuk says. Arami Avidavi, Vayedin Mitzrayim. Okay? Because Arami wanted to destroy it all, he wanted to destroy. He wanted to, like you say in the Haggadah, your love and bikesh lakar sakar, wanted to uproot everything. Okay?
So the Lord sold him from a very lofty place.
Yes, he did, but it fell pretty down. And not only that, everybody wanted to destroy us. And we ended up with Shivim Nefesh. So in other words, like this. The ultimate praise of Hashem, and this we learn out also from the Torah. When you want to give praise to Hashem, we do this in the Haggadah. The Gemara says, what's the mitzvah of the Haggadah? Maschul begnus, misayim b'shvach. You start with the negativity, the bad, and you end up with the good. Because the ultimate praise is when it goes from bad to good. If it goes from good to good, it's not the same praise. You don't feel it the same as a guy's born rich and he's rich. Okay, so he's a Kennedy or Rockefeller or whatever, you know. When a person is
nothing,
born nothing and then he becomes something, it's a much greater praise. So the same thing by Bikurim, the whole concept of Bikurim is thanking Hashem for what he did. So thanking Hashem going back from the beginning of time. we're not only thanking Hashem for this particular fruit. Because then the pasuk could have said it in one word. Thank you. We're going all the way back. We're starting off from the beginning of the destruction of the Jewish people, which was Yaakov, was the father of all Jews. So, he wanted Arami Eved Avi, Vayedin Mitzrayma, and we were forced to go down to Egypt. And a lot of other people wanted to destroy us, okay? Now it's interesting, why is Lavan called Arami? Number one, because he came from Aram. But Arami is the same letters as the word Ramai. Swindler, liar, cheat. So Arami is called David Avi. He tried to, you know, kill him and everything. And he says like this, Vayed Mitzvah v'yogosham m'seh ma'at, with there very few people, only 70 people were there. Vayisham m'yivkem l'goy godl otzim v'dov. A very strong, powerful nation with many. We came 2 million people. If you think about it, from 70 to over 2 million people in 200 years. Correct. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a miracle what Hashem did to us. Okay? And the Egyptians mistreated us. They afflicted us. They gave us hard work. And all the various things that we say in the Agada. You know, the children, they threw the kids into the Nile. They wanted to kill the children. All these various different expressions. And we cried out to Hashem. Vayishma Hashem eskelenu, Hashem heard our voice. Vayares anyenu, he saw our affliction. Vesamalenu, our trivial. Veselachatzenu, and our oppression. Vayitzeinu Hashem mi Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt. Biyochazok of Zerayim Natuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Okay? Bemeida God with great awesomeness. Ubaesis umaisim with miracles and wonders. By the way, this is what we do say. This is what we say this in the Agada. What do you think the Agada got it from? That's what the Gemara says. And it's interesting. The Gemara asks, where do you have to begin from? The Gemara, when the Gemara says the Agada has to begin bedgunus, in the negativity. And so the Gemara says, where do you start from? So one opinion says, you start from Avada Mayinu. One opinion says, Arami Eved Avi. And one person mitchila evdi aveda zara. Because again, we're going, and therefore the Gemara said, we do it all. We say avada meyinu. But then we go back, say ulamad. We're not God, we say, say ulamad. Ma bike shlov and arami. Okay? So we start with the immediate going out of Egypt. Because that's what Pesach is all about. You see, it's Mitzrayim. But then we say, let's go back even earlier to understand the miracle of Mitzrayim could be understood better by understanding what Lavan wanted to do. So you have Arami Eved Avi, and then you have all that stuff, and we say all these things. And he brought us to this place. And he gave us this land, land flowing with milk and honey. Right? So this is the declaration that a person, and again, this is only said between Shavuos and Sukkot. After Sukkot, between Sukkot and Hanukkah, you don't say all this stuff. But
it's interesting that, you know, you can't do it on Pesach, around Pesach time, because this would be apropos for, like, around Pesach.
Pesach has its thing. Pesach is the emphasis on going out of Egypt. And Bikurim is the emphasis of having the land now.
But I'm saying all this...
Yeah, I understand. We talk and say it in the Agada.
But if we didn't go to the Egypt, we didn't get the Torah. We get the Torah?
No. If we didn't get to Egypt, by the way, you need to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. When you brought Bikurim, you had to stay overnight. You had to sleep over there. If we didn't have Pesach, if we didn't have Mitzrayim, we wouldn't have been a nation. In Sfarim it says, especially in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it says that Mitzrayim was the preparation to make the Jews a nation to be able to receive the Torah. Because all the affliction and suffering of Egypt is similar, like it says in the expression, It says Vayetzein Mikur HaBarzel MiMitzrayim. Hashem took us out from the metal comb. Metal comb, Kur HaBarzel, is actually the iron comb of Mitzrayim. What does it mean? The Jews, when they came into Egypt, were like fresh hide on the animal. It's rough. It's not usable. You can't use it for leather. You can't use it for parchment. It's not usable. So you have to make it usable. So how do you make it usable? So that's the concept of what's called ma'abit, tanning the hide. Now what do you do tanning the hide? You take combs, and you used to do it manually. Now we have machines, right? You used to take combs, and they would scratch it and work at it and torture. You basically tortured the hide. And by torturing the hide, you make it pure. You make it usable. So the same thing it says that in the Medrash, that Vayitzien Mikur HaBarzel MiMitzrayim, that Egypt was actually the iron comb that tortured the Jews to become pure, to become the nation pure, to be able to receive the Torah. So that was part of the plan. And therefore, when you come in Eretz Yisrael, and you're going from the beginning, you're thanking Hashem for everything you did, that the fact that Mitzrayim, even though it was suffering for 210 years, but never, not, by the way, they didn't even suffer 210 years. Altogether, they were there 210 years. Suffering in Egypt was 90 years. The last 90 years was the suffering. That's it.
Is that the Gemara or the Midrash?
The Midrash says, because why was she called Miriam? Miriam is mar, bitter.
So
when Miriam was born was when the actual slavery started. That's when they started throwing kids into the river. And that's why, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, that whole story, when she was a little girl, right? So if you make a cheshbon, Moshe was 80 years old when they left Egypt. Miriam was 5 years older than Moshe. So Miriam was 85, right? So when was the hard slavery in Egypt? 85, 90 years, the last 85, 90 years. That's it. That's it. So, but yet, in that time, the 90 years, the Jews were tortured to such an extent that they actually became pure.
So where did they get the cheshbon of 210 years?
No, from the time Yaakov Avinu came down, right, until they left was 210 years. But as long as Yosef was alive, there was no slavery. As long as any of the brothers were alive, there was no slavery. No slavery. Then after Yosef, Yamas Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Ador Ahu, after that whole generation, but they died after Yaakov, don't forget. Right? Okay. So, and even then the beginning of slavery wasn't so bad. It was only the last 90 years. I mean, give or take a year, but it's the last 90 years. But that torture was actually the refinement of the Jewish people to become fit to be a nation and to receive the Torah. So they had to be purified. Okay, then it says like this. Vata, and therefore now, Hinei Evesi Esreishis Priyo Adama Shenasata Li Hashem. Again he says, I'm giving the first fruits that Hashem, from the land that God gave me. Again he's appreciating Hashem. V'inachte Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You put it down. In other words, after they wave it, you take it back, okay, and then you put it out. And lefnei Hashem avishtachavis and yeshabau, lefnei Hashem lekecha before God. Okay, now v'samachta b'chol atev, you should be happy in all the good, be glad with all the good, meaning appreciate it. And therefore, part of this is to celebrate, to sing. The Levim helped in this. You know, it's all part of the. But he says, "Ashenos Hashem Elokecha leVeisach Atov Alevi vaGer Shebikebecha." In other words, even the Levi has to bring Bikurim. But what does it mean? Levim were given certain cities to live in. If a Levi grew things.
They don't have land. How come they?
No, but I'm saying they were given lands to live.
So,
right? 42. Mm. So those land, those cities, if the Levi planted, And he grew things you have to bring. That's what Rashi says. But see, the Mishnah says the expression up to Chanukah. Rashi brings over here, he says, V'samachta b'chol ha'tev. Now, when is the ultimate simcha? Between Shavuos and Sukkos. Because that's when you gather everything in. After Sukkos, you bring, the Gemara says, it doesn't say Chanukah. It says, maybe Veinu Kaire. Later on, the Gemara says, after Chanukah, you don't bring, because that's not when the fruits are in the field.
But what if they lived over the Jordan? What do they do?
No. Certain places have to bring. It's a one second. It's a Mishnah. One second. No, 1 second. It says here. From in the land of Sichon and Og, they bring Bikurim rabbinically, but and also Surya, but Eretz Amon and Moav, they didn't bring Bikurim.
What about Amon and Moav? Oh, that was
what they got later. But
Reuven
was Sichon and Og. That they brought rabbinically. And the other time they brought, that was biblical that they brought. But he says, yeah, they have to be happy with, and now in other words, he's saying, you're not only supposed to thank God, you're supposed to be happy thanking God.
Yeah.
Be happy and appreciative of what it's all about.
Did the mitzvah of Bikurim obligate a person to plant so that they would have to?
No.
Or could they have a dairy farm or something like that?
All these mitzvahs are not, like again, mezuzah. Mm. If I want to be homeless and live in the street, I don't have to buy a house to buy a mezuzah. Right? I don't have to eat meat to shech the behema. If I'm eating meat, Bikurim, if you have land, and then you have to bring it.
But tefillin,